Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to our show. Excuse me. Well, I'm excited to be back today. We just went through 15 weeks of the 15 Diseases of Leadership according to the Pope. Pope Francis, you know, and today we're just going to talk a little bit about, what did we learn? What did we learn about it? We want to hear from you, so if you are so inclined to do so, please call in and talk with us a little bit about this, 347-677-1965. I'm joined here today with my dear friend, Johnny Hernandez, who is the co-host. Johnny, how's it going?
I'm doing awesome, Daniel. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. The weather is beautiful today here in the Midwest. And I can't complain. How about you?
Well, I'm good. I wish I could say that the weather was good, but it's not. It's been 106 yesterday. It's going to get over 100 today.
Oh, my God.
With 47% humidity. And you know in California, close to the beach, that's no fun because we have no air conditioning. So our ocean breeze at night is 80 degrees. It's no fun. So anyway, enough complaining.
It's brutal.
It won't be long before our weather changes and the rest of the world will be frozen and we'll be going, ah.
That's right.
So anyway, that's a El Nino, which they're predicting doesn't come and flow us into the ocean. But anyway, so Johnny, we it's been, can you believe that, 15 weeks. On the diseases of leadership, according to Pope Francis, and today we're just kind of really doing a recap of the ones maybe that we thought resonated with us. I really, really appreciated this article was written by Gary Hamel, who's with the Harvard Business Review. For those of you that may not know what we're talking about, feel free to go to the page, the Blog Talk Radio page, and click on the link there and read the entire article. It's really interesting that you have someone like that is actually talking about business, but I think he's talking about leadership in general for everybody.
Hey, man, I think that's exactly what he's talking about, whether you are a Fortune 50 executive, small business owner, a homemaker, it doesn't matter. We all, in one way, shape, or form, we lead. And what I think, you and I have talked about this over and over on these shows, is what I think is so beautiful about the way that the Pope articulates it is if you called it the 15 diseases of leadership and stopped there and say, instead of stating according to Pope Francis.
Exactly.
If you are a values-based, ethical human being and you read this article, you would say, wow, this is very insightful and dead on. So it's not religious-based. I would tell you it is spiritual based, because it's more from the heart as opposed to the head. But it resonates with literally everyone I interact with. I've gotten a couple emails already this morning asking for, I can't call into the show, but I'm going to listen to it later. Maybe could you answer this question? Because they know that, and sent me a couple questions here for you and I, if we have time to potentially tackle here today. But this has been really exciting. The tough part is you got to have a good follow up when you do something like this, because this has just had rave reviews, Daniel.
Yeah. Let's jump right on in. I'd be interested to hear one of the questions, and let's just jump in and answer them. And folks, again, today especially, we'd love for you to jump in on our conversation. Actually, we do have a caller right now. Looks like from Texas. I'm going to bring that caller on. I don't know your name. It's not showing me, but I'm going to bring you right on. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi,
hello?
Johnny. This is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick. Fantastic.
Hey.
Well,
how you doing?
What a special Well, fantastic. What a special guest. We were hoping Patrick would be able to join us. Patrick Dickinson. We've been trying for so long to get him to join Daniel and I in this call. And it's interesting, I was having a conversation with Patrick today. Patrick is a leader in a Fortune 50 organization, international organization, and what I would call a world-class leader. And it was ironic because this morning Patrick and I, if you don't mind me paraphrasing here, Patrick, we're discussing leadership within itself. And the topic of the 15 diseases, of course, comes up. And as you read through this article, when I think of Patrick and his leadership style, I think of a couple things. One, Patrick, you have worked with a broad swath of leaders in your long, long tenured career. You have, from a personal standpoint, had what I would call, certainly not, I wouldn't say an incredibly challenging life, but a very diverse life in terms of how you've raised your beautiful and amazing family. And what a great week for you to join us. But as we get into this dialogue, Patrick, I would love your, and I don't know how much of the article you had a chance to go through, but just in general, would you mind sharing with Daniel, myself, and all those listening now and that will be tuning in later, kind of, you know, if you were to say, what are basically some of the top three biggest ahas or lessons that you've learned in leadership that you tend to carry with you on a regular basis? Because I think there'll be a very interesting lesson that we'll loop back and go to after this. But I hate to put you on the spot if you don't mind, but what would you say those would be?
But he is.
Yeah, no doubt.
I hate to put you on the spot, but you're on it.
Yeah, you're on the spot. That's okay. That's all right, John. I think we've had, you know, many dialogues over the years that you and I have worked together. And, you know, I think, I mean, I'm probably going to say something that's fairly obvious to everybody, but when you really think about what's been most important to me and what's actually been most successful for me, it's really around my investment in the people and investment into each individual. And when I say individual, I mean individual. While we may have common ways of being able to develop everyone, I think you have to understand the individual first to be able to, you know, create the right type of development plan for them. So I think it all starts there. I mean, I've built my career in being able to influence people, and people want to follow me, and that's been probably the biggest takeaway for me around that piece there. I think I would start off by saying that that's where it all starts with. So probably quite obvious to both of you, right?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I think that it always begins with understanding who you're working with. You talked about people following you. It reminds me of a quote someone sent me once that goes, if you think you're a leader and nobody's following, then you're just on a very long walk. And I thought, what are you saying? So, yeah, you have to get people to follow, and I think there's certain traits within each of us and each of those managers and or leaders that are listening to this show today that give the desire. You know, we talk about motivation and inspiration, but really it's about inspiring people to want to follow us or you as a leader. Folks, this is a great conversation. Give us a call, 347-677-1965. You were about to say something, Johnny.
Yeah, I said, you know, as I was listening to Patrick, you know, so your first of the three is about surrounding yourself with world-class people, if I can paraphrase, and treating them like gold. And when you look at the 15 diseases, I was looking at them as I was just listening to you, Patrick, and literally that applies to probably 5 to 7 of the 15 diseases right there in itself. And you know, the ironic thing here is we didn't give Patrick the answers to the test. And one of the reasons I intentionally put Patrick on the spot was, as a very successful leader in a very dynamic business environment, I think that as we hear some of these real world or real life lessons, or, you know, how he applies and or maybe how he doesn't apply, or what he's learned over the years by following some world-class leaders and maybe not so many world-class leaders, you know, how do these run parallel to, you know, to the 15 diseases according to Pope Francis? What would you say would be the second one, Patrick?
You know, my second piece is that, you know, while, I mean, I've been in the industry for about 30-some years, which when I say that, it kind of freaks me out. It You start filling, you get that age fill in, but I'm like, wow, 30 some years. That, you know, always being open to being influenced and learning. I think that, you know, even at this day and age, I am still keen to being able to learn, whether it's new things or I don't take the approach that I know it all already. I feel like I have a good grasp on the industry that I work in, and I have a great deal of knowledge to share with a lot of people, a lot of life experiences, but I'm also open to learning new things. And I think as we evolve through different times and changes from, you can say, Gen Y to X to millennials, all that, I think it's important that you're always actually, you have this attention to learn and to be influenced. When we stop doing that, I think that's when we really kind of shorten our runway for what opportunities we really have out there, not only for myself, but for the people that I actually that I'm leading and influencing and guiding. So that'd be my second piece.
You know, I think that's fascinating. That. Robert Stevens was a guest on the show here not too long ago. Daniel, you were in Puerto Rico at the time, hanging out and having a great time.
Peru.
And while the rest of us were back here working. But Robert made, for those of you don't know Robert, he's the founder of Geek Squad. And Robert said very much what you just stated, but he used different language. He said, a great leader is insatiably curious. And I think it speaks exactly to what you're saying, Patrick. It's just that open mind, that willingness to be influenced. But there's another word that I use frequently because I think it's so essential. It's such a high level of humility to be able to say, I'm not the smartest guy, I'm not the smartest gal in the room, in the class, in the company, but together with all those, to your first point, amazing human beings I've surrounded myself with all the diversity and thought and life experiences, I can be far more effective as long as I am open-minded, and which again coincides beautifully with the 15 diseases here. But thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yeah, Daniel, I mean, what's your spin on that?
Well, I agree. I think you said a good leader is curious. I can't imagine anyone who thinks they know it all in today's environment, I think, is lost. Good leaders, or leaders that are open to suggestion. You know, I've always found in leadership, even if I knew the answer, it behooved me to listen to as many people as I could, just in case that there might be a point of view that I didn't know that might influence my ability or my decision in a particular arena. But what's really important, Johnny and Patrick, is that we if we quit learning, then we're obsolete in the marketplace. Because the way that the market, how things come to market, how people learn and evolve. For example, Johnny, you and I have had many conversations about the millennials and how they're changing, and they don't even like being called millennials, but how they're changing the way that we do business, how we manage, because they get up and go if they don't like what they're seeing. There was a time when we would just take it, right? My mom would say, get a job and stick with it. You know, it's not so true with today's world. And if we're not willing to learn and to keep up with the new ways of managing, inspiring, motivating others, then I think that we get antiquated. And when we get antiquated, then, you know, the 30 years, 40 years that we have in the marketplace become – that's why people become obsolete, by the way. I've seen people who weren't that way, who were in their 70s, who were great leaders because they were curious about what's different today, and knowing that every – you think about it, a decade. I mean, that's a long time, 10 years. Things are going to change, and it's imperative that we're willing to not get stuck on the idea that we know everything. I mean, that's the one thing that I get nervous about, Johnny, when I'm around someone that can't get off of, I know. It's like, well, then why are we talking? If you know, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
You know, Daniel, there was something you just mentioned there when you talk about leaders, and this applies to companies as well, which I think is interesting. It's the when you talk about open-mindedness, I've got it figured out. And I'm not going to share the name of this company, but I was reading through some of my stuff this morning about a company very large company based out of Los Angeles, that a year ago was recognized as one of the top companies, not just in Los Angeles, but nationally, internationally, in terms of growth, success, their model, so forth and so on. Now, mind you, this article is 1 year old, just barely over 1 year old. Today, that same company has transitioned CEOs, is having to say financial disarray would be a gross understatement, on the verge of bankruptcy. And all those articles now not only are gone, but the articles that are being written about them now are more around what happened from a leadership standpoint, ethics, values, et cetera, et cetera. So it's amazing how the face of an organization is in every way, shape, and form going to be reflective of those individuals that lead it. And a company that fast,
wow,
can be changed from, you know, world class and the center of attention to the one sitting alone at the dance that no one wants to have anything to do with. It blows my mind. Patrick, how about number three? So you mentioned two great ones there. How about the third one?
Yeah, you know, my last one is really kind of I would call it a foundational piece, but in you and I, Johnny, we talked about this morning a little bit when we chatted, just, you know, I'm a prime believer of the four quadrants and being able to be organized and be able to prioritize, and spending the majority of your time in quadrant two is where we want to spend a majority of our time, the things that actually truly get us closer to our goals, whether it's personal or work related. And, you know, and I've always thought myself as someone who did well at organization, prioritization. But I got to tell you, and obviously not trying to have an advertisement here for the four quadrants, but that, you know, when I reintroduced myself to this, you know, five steps of extraordinary productivity, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, it made a significant difference. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, part of my leadership and what helps me do all these things, focus on people, continue to learn, is the ability to be able to be organized, but to be able to prioritize and let some of those things that aren't important, let them go, and somebody else can take care of those.
Mm.
Yeah, I think how in the Lord's good name do you do that? And we joke about it, the ability to actually manage time and you know, and the four quadrants. I mean, you know, what a great program Stephen Covey, you know, architected, seems like forever ago, but I think that is such a major challenge, especially, you know, I had an amazing organizational psychologist. Elizabeth Gibson was her name. She worked with me in my previous employer when I worked for Best Buy. And she was incredibly insightful. And one of the things that she shared with me, excuse me, was that it is atypical for highly functional, high-performing executives and senior executives to suffer from some sort of, and again, I'm choosing different words here, but to have some sort of attention deficit, low patience, low tolerance for things. Right, I'm trying to make myself look better here, right?
You are ADHD. Yeah, that's them.
to stay on task, that, you know, when they implement things, if they don't see results in a what they consider a reasonable time frame, which for an executive maybe 30 days, 60 days, and, you know, it's off, you throw the baby out with the bathwater, that it's very, very challenging. So, Patrick, when we talk about things that are important but not urgent, I mean, based on your experience, I mean, how do you bring those things into the fold, make sure you don't deviate when you've got other, perceivable hair on fire things taking place, you know, in other spaces? I mean, how do you begin your day? How do you end your day? I mean, how do you personally manage through all of that? Because I know that's a personal strength of yours.
Yeah, you know what? I use the 30-10 promise that Stephen Covey talks about in the five steps of extraordinary productivity, where, you know, the beginning of the week, which my week begins officially on Monday, but on Sunday, usually that evening, I'm looking ahead for that week and looking, hey, what's my schedule look like? What am I doing this week? Is it in line with what my goals are, whether it's personal or work related? And I do that every week. And then what I do every day is that at the end of the evening, whatever that time ends, it could be 6 o'clock one day, it could be 9 o'clock another day, is that I'm reflecting back on that day to find out, did I get everything done that I had originally planned? And if I didn't, what happens next? Where do I got to move them to? What maybe drops off a higher priority? What became a bigger priority? And I do that consistently, each night, and I do the week part. And by doing that, what we call the 30-10 promise, it sets me up. It definitely sets me up. And, you know, there's times we still obviously make errors, and I might have moved something that wasn't as important, and I had to make an adjustment in the day during that time. But I call those kind of those quadrant one pieces that they – sometimes those things pop in that – are important and urgent you got to deal with. But that's how I keep on pace, is what I call the 30-10 promise. That comes out of the Stephen Covey and the 5 steps of extraordinary productivity.
Wow. Well, I need to take some lessons there, and I counted up. So just in the 3 areas that Patrick say, or just say 3 of his most significant learnings in his career, Daniel, represent approximately 60% of doing the 15 diseases right. So 16% of those 15, if you followed Patrick's view, you would be free from. And I think it just goes to show, when you apply real world math, people are like, well, what's the science behind it and all the studying and all these other things? The reality is, when you bring a solid leader, solid human being who leads with high morals, high values, high ethics, a lot of these things take care of themselves, don't they?
Yeah, I think that was the whole purpose behind this article, was, be a person of integrity. Be a person that, as Stephen Covey once said, seeks first to understand rather than be understood. It's kind of interesting, because if you think back in the 1900s, employees were everything. And then we went to the customer's right. And now we live in a world where nobody's right. who's right today? It's the board. The people who are right is the stockholder, which is all
right.
Backwards. It's all backwards, right?
That's right.
So if we follow the idea, to go back to spiritual principles, and we've talked to this before, the laws of love according to Jesus and Buddha, Then we're talking about compassion, which is what I heard you talk about, Patrick. Love, forgiveness, those understanding, these things that I think make us human. Then we can go home every night and sleep, and not step all night because we weren't any of those things. And I think that the Pope has done a real good job in the world at large at instilling these values that I think we today have lost along the way, because we focus too much on the bottom line. So there's a lot that can be said about that. Johnny, what do you think about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And I think it goes back to when we're brought up, we know the difference between right and wrong. And it's when these icky things and they're not always icky. It's human beings that ultimately in the end turn them icky. But with things like power, money, all of those things start taking a higher seat at the table than our people. And those who take care of us, our customers, we talk about our employees, those in our families, that's when we run into challenges, and one of my good friends and I, actually one of our business partners, just assembled a corporate survey. It's well over 100 questions, and we're anxious to get it out in the field, because we're going to survey approximately about 1,000 various corporations, fastest growing and large corporations in the United States, all with a very set group of questions, in which we hope to find out the commonalities between some of this. Because where you believe it, and this is what's so interesting, and Daniel, you and I could appreciate this in the environments we work from the consulting and coaching space, is it's fascinating, because people work in companies and they believe that, oh my gosh, my company has XYZ wrong with it. Not that they're all screwed up, but has XYZ wrong with it. The grass is greener, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I would challenge you and say, in some cases, be careful what you wish for. You've got to work someplace that gives you incredible enjoyment, make sure you're fulfilled, make you feel like you're valued, et cetera. But when you work with a lot of these companies, you would be amazed to realize not only do they all have their challenges, they all have very, very similar challenges. Mm-hmm. I think what's different is it all comes down to leadership. And the leadership is the one that shapes, drives, and reinforces whatever that organizational culture is. And I know we've talked about it, you know, just shy of, you know, the HR folks screaming out there. You know, if you work in an environment of love and genuine care for each other, and always know that no human being is ever worth the expense, or no outcome is ever worth the expense of violating another human being in any way, shape, or form, no matter how significant
right.
it may seem. When you lead like that, I mean, things it's much, much different, you know. This is
yeah,
amazing.
You know what? It's amazing how quickly the time has gone. And I want to make sure before we let Patrick go, Patrick, any final thoughts that you'd like to let our listeners know before we end up wrapping up our show?
You know, I just think that I think you guys articulated a lot of this very well, and there's probably some leaders out there that might have maybe three different priorities that work for them, and I think that's okay. I think it's A-okay. I think you just have to be committed and to what your leadership style is, and you got to be committed to it. So
I love that.
And to me, I'm simple. I'm a simple guy. So just be committed.
I love that. If you're going to do it, if you're going to say you're a certain style, then be it. Be it and yeah. stick to it, you know, and I love that because it's so true. So indecision is the killer of all dreams, you know, yeah. and if you're going to be a certain way, do that. John, anything you want to say to Patrick before we let him go?
Patrick, thank you for joining. You're an absolute rock star, especially jumping on and humoring Daniel and I. So thanks for joining us. And Daniel,
yes, thank you for coming.
Have yourself a great week, man.
All right, so folks, we've been talking about the 15 diseases of leadership according to Pope Francis. We're going to dive into in the next call, probably over the next month, the rest of September, October, November, December. We're going to be looking at mindfulness. It is a hot topic in corporate America today, all the way from Google to Aetna. People, and that's the East Coast, West Coast, people are taking a look at what does mindfulness mean in the marketplace. There was a huge article written recently in NetWire talking about, they're not talking about the hippie stuff that people don't want to hear about. They're talking about how do we increase profits by being mindful in the workplace, and what does that mean? It's going to be an incredible next few months as we tackle that. And if you want to be a part of that and you want to be part of that conversation, please let us know. You can call us at 347-677-1965. And we will be happy to talk to you about that. All right. Have a beautiful day. And, guys, we'll talk to you another time.
Peace.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.